Thank you for being here. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 37. Genesis 37. Today we're going to be celebrating communion as well, honoring the Lord's Supper today together. And so if you're watching online, please grab your coffee and donut and dip that later at the end of the service. I'm just kidding. That's not the way the Lord has made the Lord's Supper. So please grab some bread, some juice, Lord willing, or get some this week. We always celebrate it the first Sunday of the month, and so please take time to do that with your family or by yourself today or with someone else or your family. And so Genesis 37, we're going to slow down from our series on resilient faith. We've learned a lot through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now we're going to look at Joseph. Joseph is given the most time frame or most chapters in the book of Genesis. So we're going to slow down and really look at the life of Joseph. And so to me, there's a lot of pictures of Christ in there, especially in chapter 37. We're going to see a lot of grit that Joseph had to face, and we're going to see some challenges over and over again. So he thought Jacob had a constant headwind. Joseph had constant adversity. He was like the NFL MVP defensive player of the year. So many things happened to him, but he seems, through the Lord's help, to tackle every situation that comes his way. So how does the Lord develop grit and grace in us? This is really the story of Joseph. Because he's just a young guy, and some things happened to him that helped develop him to be later on in life that we can learn from. So we're just going to slow down. We're just going to cover Genesis 37 today, just one chapter. And so please turn there. We're going to read verses 1 to 11. And let's read those together. It says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, in the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. And Joseph had a dream, verse 5, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. And he said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. And his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? Very good question. And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told his brothers, listen, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. And when he told his father as well, his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that we get to learn about some spiritual grit that you help develop in each of us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help guard our hearts and our minds today. Lord, as we kind of relive some things, maybe some hurts that people have had in the past. And so, Father, we just pray that you would show much grace today to help us through some hard times in our life, and what you're teaching us through some things today, through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever been to a gym. My goal this year was to go once. I already met that, so I keep my goals very low, so that way I don't ever discourage myself. So I went one time and went on the elliptical machine, and so there's different parts that you can go to, like level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5. And so each of those levels have a different resistance level. And so it's harder the each step you go, right? And so you can go from, you start off with like level one and it's pretty easy, like I'm gonna hit level two and it's like, oh, that's a little bit better. Level three, it's like, oh, now I'm starting to sweat, right? And so it's like going from Abraham level one to Jacob, to Isaac level two, to Jacob level three. I mean, we saw Jacob sweating last week over a lot of things, wrestling. And now we see Joseph hitting like level four and five. Constant resistance, constant adversity coming his way. How do we handle all of that? Because we see Joseph sweating a lot. His workout, his spiritual workout that God gave him was like, wow. He was sore for a lot of years, not just days. He was sore for a lot of years after what he had been through. And so he's my Hall of Fame Defensive Player of the Year. Because he goes from a privileged son to a priced slave in just a matter of days. From a privileged son to a priced slave. If you're following your outline, the purpose of outlines is for you to write notes. And so they've been finding this true from e-learning versus the old way of learning, that the more you see, write, and hear, the more you remember. The more you just engage digitally, you don't remember as much unless you see it, hear it, and write it at the same time. And so I hope you're watching and writing notes, because God's going to develop some grit in your life. And there's people called nuns. I don't know if you've heard of this, not the nuns in the Catholic world, but there's nuns called people, I'm done with church. I just don't want no part of it. Because God's trying to develop grit in their life, and they resist the workout. So I'm just done with church. I don't want no part of anything that goes on because of hurt and past and everything else. So people are just walking away from their workout, all because the level's too high. So God, again, is building spiritual maturity in us, and each step he wants to take us to is harder and harder, and the more we face that resistance, like, whoa, I want to be done. I don't want to do a 20-minute workout on this one. This is going to hurt me. But God always has some lessons. If we're willing to just listen, if we're willing to take in from Joseph, again, because everything that God writes to us is for our encouragement, the New Testament says, for our learning and growing and teaching. And so, a couple of things we're going to see about Joseph is his integrity. He gave a bad report to his dad about his brothers. He was tattling or snitching or narking on them. And so, but here's the thing. If he had no integrity, he couldn't discern their bad behavior. Right? It's like if you don't know what's right and wrong, then everything's wrong. Then if I accept wrong, then bad behavior is okay. But if you have integrity, if you have character, then what's going to happen? You're going to be able to discern good from bad. And so Joseph was put in a position to where, hey, I want you to be supervisor over your brothers. Go check on them and send a report back to me. That's what his dad did. And eventually his dad made him what, a coat of a robe, picturing that he was now not just his favorite son, that he wanted to love the most, that one who was going to be probably the firstborn inheritance, but now he made him supervisor over his older brothers. And he's just 17. Could you imagine that situation? So his father treated him differently, plus he's going to be the boss of them. It's like, wow, that's a hard pill to swallow. Put Joseph in his touchy situation as well with his brothers, right? It says they hated him. And then more and more stuff happened, and they hated him all the more. But he was trustworthy. He was sexually pure. He was hardworking. He was wise. He didn't complain. But he sent a bad report in to his father due to his brothers. And so he got this richly robe, and so he was elevated to this position over his brothers. But you see this pattern in Joseph. Every time he worked hard, he was elevated. Then he But he immediately backed down to bottom again. I got to go to Potiphar's house. I'm sold to slavery. I got to go to Potiphar's house. I got to start at the bottom and work my way up again. Left Potiphar's house, go to prison. I'm at the bottom again, and I got to work my way up. He gets supervisor again in prison. Right? And so then he goes to Pharaoh's house, and he goes, I'm going to make you right up here. This is where you belong. But it took three series of events like that in his life to where he had to start from the bottom and work his way up. You ever been in that situation? Maybe you were a supervisor and all of a sudden you were promoted back downward and you're like, oh man, I got to switch jobs. I got to start back over again. It's like, how many times am I going to have to do this? That's why some people, they become their own bosses. It's like, I'm tired of doing that. I'm going to start my own company, so I stay right here, right? Work for myself. You know, Abraham Lincoln lost several political races before he ever became president. He tried to work his way up and got shot down, worked his way up and got shot down long before he became president. He knew what it was like to be defeated before there was ever a victory. And so sometimes God has to help us with defeat in our life. But he wore this richly robe. It's one thing if your dad gives it to you. It's another thing if you wear it all the time. So Joseph proudly wore this all the time. And his brothers didn't like him for it. Then there was animosity. This created animosity. And so Joseph's robe, being his father's favorite, and it says they didn't even have a kind word for him. Could you imagine growing up in a verbally abusive home with your siblings? Not even a kind word. Jealous, envious, bitter, angry at him. Always trying to tease him, make fun of him. Look at him with that jacket on, you know. Daddy's favorite. It's like he was a walking lollipop, waiting for a bear and lion to come, or an owl to lick him up, right? How many takes does it take to get to the root of the Tootsie Pop? The coat of many colors. Then he had his dreams. If the tensions weren't high enough, then he shared his dreams with his brothers. And here's the thing I want to share about dreams. If you don't know what your dreams mean to you, don't ever share them to someone else that doesn't know either. And that's what his problem was. He kept sharing his dreams. His brother understood the dreams, right? He didn't. And so they actually gave the interpretation. So we're supposed to bow to you? You're supposed to reign over us, little brother? We can take you out. Right? There's more of us than there are of you. There's 10 of us. And so his dreams led to his father even rebuking him. In Hebrew, he was actually yelling at Joseph. That's what it means. See, when he rebuked, he raised his voice. He was yelling at Joseph. He's like, you got to stop sharing this stuff. It's putting animosity in our family. Me and your mom are supposed to bow down to you too? It was a tough dream. Right? I mean, this is difficult stuff. Life's not easy sometimes, and now we're trying to interpret dreams. What's ironic is that Joseph then interprets Pharaoh's dream, right? He couldn't even interpret his own dreams. Now he interprets other people's dreams. So God was teaching some things here. But his dreams were causing more and more tension. They hated him all the more. They were envious, and they rejected him for it. What the end result, though, was that it came true. But notice it says Jacob reserved something in his heart. He's like, maybe God's saying this something to Joseph that I need to pay attention to. Because remember, Jacob had a dream, the stairway to heaven. He saw that. God spoke to him. And so maybe he was thinking, maybe I need to pay attention because God spoke to me in a similar way, just in a different fashion. So sometimes your dream may be different than someone else's dream. Don't ever compare dreams, because God may be saying something different to somebody, right? Now, I just want to share something about dreams. I want to go to that slide on dreams. How do you know if a dream is God-given? You ever ask yourself that question? How do I, because I've had some weird dreams. You know, if I eat some pizza late at night, it's like, you know, there's some, I eat too many onions or garlic or something. It's just like, it messes with you, right? And so how do you know if you have a God-given dream? Because it leads to a divine message. The angels came to Mary and Joseph in a dream, and they spoke to them, and it came true. There's always the completeness of what God is saying in a dream. It leads to a real future. It's God's plan. And here's the thing. It always leads to serving other people. Joseph ended up serving people through this dream. Even though he was elevated, he was serving people. And the last part is God always gets the glory in a God-given dream. He never exalts man on behalf of man. He always exalts man on behalf of what God can do through the man. And God put him there for a reason, because Joseph at the end of Genesis says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Just like the song we just sang. God can turn things around in his sovereignty and his purpose and his plan in our life, and turn a family situation around, because that's what he does. He restores, he reconciles, he heals this family, all through something evil that happened to this guy named Joseph. Then lastly, we see his faithfulness. And this is really the character quality of Joseph that you want to take away from his life. He was faithful working for his father. He was faithful working for Potiphar. He was faithful in the prison. He was faithful under Pharaoh. He was constantly faithful no matter what situation he was in. He worked hard no matter what happened to him. He didn't complain. He didn't argue. And so here's how faithfulness is developed. It's by doing the right thing over and over and over and over again for a long period of time, despite the challenges or temptations. I hope you get that. Let me say it again. It's developed by doing the right thing over and over and over again for a long period of time, despite the challenges or temptations you will face. That's faithfulness. And that's one thing that God is going to grade us on when we stand before Him. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, this guy gave him 10 talents. You gave me 2. He's going to say, really? Well, you gave him 5. And it's like this whole comparison thing with talents of what God's given us. Were you faithful for what God has given to you? That's all He's going to care about. Amen. Quit comparing. Quit being envious of people. We live in a culture where we compare stuff all the time. God, why don't you give me what they have and all this other kind of stuff? And it's like raising a family with little kids, right? Everybody's trying to argue over what they have and don't have, and it's like we all need to grow up sometimes. Be thankful where God has you, what He has given to you. Gratefulness is all He's asking for. And the more grateful you are, guess what? The more He gives you. Could you imagine giving people more that are ungrateful? It's like that. It doesn't work that way. God blesses those who are faithful and thankful. If you gave something to your son and he was constantly complaining about what you gave him, would you give him more? Or would you see looking for gratefulness? God is always looking for gratefulness. In essence, in Psalm 100, He says it's a requirement to come into My presence if you don't come with gratitude. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. It says, write that on the back part of our church. Enter his courts with praise. Thanksgiving is huge. In Jeremiah 23, I want to share something else on these God-given dreams versus man's dreams. And I'd encourage you to read Jeremiah 23 this week, because God lays out a God-given dream versus man's dream. And he says, hey, what's more important than any dream is this. Makes it pretty clear. We can have dreams and don't understand them, but this is one thing I do understand. This is one thing I know what it says. Right? So God says, hey, nothing beats this. Nothing. Study this, own it, live it, memorize it, treasure it, meditate on it. You will be blessed if you do. So read Jeremiah 23 this week. But soon Joseph's privileges will be taken away. They saw him coming and had a plan of their own. And this part really shows the character of the brothers. Remember, Joseph gave a bad report on them? It's like now you see it revealed in what they did to him. Because if they're willing to do this to their own brother, they were showing what kind of heart they really had. What hatred and jealousy and bitterness and anger can really do to a person on the inside. And I think God used this event not only for Joseph, but for the brothers. Because when you come to chapter 42, they constantly lived and relived that moment with each other. Especially when they had to go back and tell their dad the false story, the false narrative. God sometimes uses evil to get people's attention to where we need to stop this in our life. And so you see the next section, Joseph being sold by his brothers and goes down to Egypt. And in these six qualities, you see very much Jesus in these qualities. What happened to Joseph is what happened to Christ himself. So Jews would call Jesus sometimes the son of Joseph because of the similarities or the imagery that Christ had. So number one, they plotted to kill him. Now what's interesting, he left the land of Canaan. His dad sends the 10 up to with all the herd, and they go about 50 miles north of where they were at. They even went through Shechem. So if you study Shechem, that's where their sister was taken advantage of, and they killed the two brothers killed a lot of those men. And now Joseph has to go by himself through that land. Very scary situation. Hey, our family is not welcome there. And Joseph goes through Shechem, and he goes all the way up to Dothan, and he finds his brothers way far away from the family. Maybe that's what they were trying to do. They probably knew, hey, Dad might be sending Joseph the farther we go and the longer we stay away to come get us, to check on us, because he's supervisor now. But they saw him coming with his coat, and they plotted to kill him. You know, the same thing happened to Jesus, right? They saw Jesus coming and they were envious and hated him and jealous of him. And they plotted to kill him. He came into his own and his own received him not. Secondly, they stripped him of his robe. They took his power away. And they took his coat off and they threw him in a cistern. You know, Jesus was not thrown in a cistern, he was thrown on the cross. But he went willingly. That's the amazing part. So Joseph was fighting for his life in Genesis 42 as he fell into the cistern. He was pleading with his brothers. Notice this verse in chapter 42, 21 and 22, just to kind of give you a backdrop. It says, they said to one another, the brothers were saying to one another, surely we are being punished because of our brother. This is after the fact. So we saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us. They had to go down to Egypt to get food. And the whole family distress. It's like God is paying us back for what we did to our brother. Wow. It gets worse, in my opinion. So they throw him in the cistern. Then notice verse 25. There was no water in it. Notice verse 25. It says, as they sat down to eat their meal. What? Here they are throwing him in a cistern. He's begging for his life, and they're eating. That's like eating a ham sandwich back at Bossback's, back at this meat plant that used to butcher animals. It's like my uncles used to work there. They told me stories. It's like, how in the world can you eat in that situation, that environment? But they chose to eat. Reuben seems to be off on the distance because he comes back and he's mad at the brothers. This is going to be, they did this without his authority, the firstborn. And then they say, you know what, we shouldn't kill him. He's our brother. But let's make some money off of him. Let's sell him for some money. So they sold him into slavery. And notice the interesting thing here is that he sold him to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites were who? Descendants of Abraham. What happened to Ishmael and his mom Hagar? They were cast out away from the blessing, the family blessing. So now, isn't it ironic that Ishmael accepts, the descendants of Ishmael accept this, and it's like, hey, they should have said, hey, time out. What you're doing is not right. This is your brother. This is part of our extended family. But no, they jump in on this situation, and they go down and sell Joseph as well. Hard story, right? It's like, this isn't easy stuff. We're going to talk about some stuff, especially even next week, that's going to get harder and harder. We're going to look at next week, how do I get out of the pit? Because many of us live in the pits. I mean, you don't even know it. It could be the pit of unforgiveness. It could be the pit of grief. Jacob refuses to be comforted after hearing about Joseph, what happened to Joseph. He stayed in a pit of grief, refusing to be comforted. He says, going down to the grave, I will mourn the rest of my life, because his soul was so grieved over the fake news about Joseph. His brothers got a goat and killed it. They shed innocent blood to cover their own sin. There's a nice topic, right? The brothers got a goat and killed it and put its innocent blood on the robe of Joseph and took it back to their father. And the robe was just torn to pieces. And they said a wild animal got him and tore him to pieces. And when you think of Christ, what happened to Christ? They not only took off his robe. Remember, they put a robe on him and mocked him and hit him and put a crown of thorns on him. They took his outer garment as well, and they casted lots over his clothes. In essence, they emotionally and physically and even demonically, even spiritually, were trying to tear Jesus to pieces. Someone innocent was going to shed their blood for the guilty. Now think about this. Jesus was willing to go through all of that for us. He left his heavenly robe, his Father's right hand, all his privilege to be sold as a price of a slave too, for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus took off his heavenly robe, but he put this earthly one on because it says in Philippians 2, it says he made himself nothing. The servant. Even to death. Death on a cross. It's like, well, why? Why did he endure such suffering? Because he saw you and me. He saw the world lost. Like sheep without a shepherd, he said. And I've come to give my life as a ransom. And so he took his heavenly robe off and he put this earthly one on, and it was stained with blood. But he himself took it back to the Father and said, Father, I hope you're pleased with my sacrifice for sin once and for all. The Father says, I'm absolutely grateful for your love for me and for people. And so I'm going to raise you up from the dead to show you victory over all the evil that came against you. So your followers will not only experience forgiveness, but eternal life. Right? Because if Christ wouldn't raise from the dead, we get nothing. But since it happened, we get everything. And Joseph kind of has a resurrection story on his own, but it's down in Egypt, doesn't he? But he goes through some more hardship. You know, in Revelation 19, I've always pondered this verse. And studying Joseph helped me understand this verse. So if Jesus took his heavenly robe and dipped it with blood down here because of his sacrifice, then why is he coming back with one on? Notice the verse. I saw heaven standing open, John says, and there before me was a white horse, and whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has written on him the name that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe. What? Dipped in blood? Why? He hasn't even fought yet. You see the imagery what I'm getting at? It's because of the cross. His robe is dipped in blood in heaven. So forever when we get there, we will see the sacrifice and love and mercy and grace of God forever and ever and ever. And when he comes, he's going to come with justice. His eyes are like fire. He's going to pierce this world, and he's going to come, and he's going to reign on this world. He's going to start everything over again, but with us, with him. I find that verse interesting. I hope you understand that verse a little bit better, because it's always troubled me. It's like, what? I'm not catching the imagery. But then they deceived their own family. They came back and concocted a conspiracy theory of his death. But little did they know that God would have a resurrection story for Joseph. You know, Jesus, after he died, there was a conspiracy theory of his resurrection, right? They concocted a whole story of why the stone was rolled away. Jesus had a resurrection story as well. You know why jewelers, when you go to a jewelry store, and hope you guys go to something like that this week for your wives. It's Valentine's Day Sunday, next Sunday, by the way. And so, do you know why they always put those diamonds or jewels on something that's black velvet? To help it shine better. To see the beauty come off of that. And so, you know why, what God uses some dark times in our life for? You got to get this. So you can shine better. so you can shine better. As we prepare for communion, this song that Kim is going to sing for us is just, man, I've heard it on the radio, I've heard her sing it before, and it's just like, wow. So when you study Joseph's life and you study Jesus' life, you see a lot of darkness. But guess what? God is producing a diamond. Do you know how diamonds are produced? A lot of pressure. Overwhelming, constant adversity is shaping and pushing those minerals to become a diamond. And when you see the darkness, but yet the beauty of Jesus is humility and love and forgiveness in the midst of such trial and darkness, you're thinking, wow, help me be like that, Lord, right? Because I don't know, my natural instincts are saying, verses like this. The song is called, Isn't He? Isn't He? And so during this song, I'd love for you to come and take your time, but grab a cup. Use the hand sanitizer, wash your hands, grab a cup, go back to your seat. But just enjoy this song. Enjoy the beauty of Jesus in this song. Because one thing Joseph does, it helps us see Jesus in the Old Testament. Because Jesus is everywhere in the Old Testament. You just got to look for him. He's there. So, Kim, thank you.
Isn't he? Isn't he? honored and adored. Yes, you alone will be glorified and praised. Yes, you alone will reign forevermore. Yes, you alone at the name above all names. Yes, you alone will reign forevermore. Yes, you alone at the name above all names. Oh, oh, this Jesus, this Jesus.
Let's take a moment to pray as we get more communion cups. Sorry for running short, but sometimes it's like that. Sometimes you run short in life, right? But there's extra in the back. God's got the supply before we have the need. So Father, we just thank you today that we get to tell you how wonderful you are. That we get to remind ourselves how lovely and marvelous, and kind and wonderful. Lord, your beauty compares to nothing else. Lord, sometimes we think we have it rough in this life. Nothing compares to your suffering. Lord, help us to remember what you went through for us. Lord, that gets me every time. And I always ask the question, why? Why so much suffering? Why so much brokenness? Why so much resistance and hatred and jealousy and all of these things? Lord, it's because our hearts don't want you to rule over us. Lord, we have in our hearts this we want to be king versus you. So, Lord, I thank you for melting our hearts with your grace and your goodness. And that you, once and for all, took the punishment and evil of sin on the cross. So, Lord, that it would help us stay away from it. That we would hate it. Every time we get those Joseph feelings or emotions within us. Father, help us crucify this flesh that doesn't want to submit, that doesn't want to humble ourselves. So we thank you for showing us what it looks like in real life and in real tragedy, the beauty of submitting even to death for us. And because you did, Lord, you are so highly exalted and given a name above every name, every title that can be given in heaven and on earth. There's no one like you. There is none. And that's why we love you. Because there's no one else like you. And I will follow you the rest of my life. Because you're worthy of it. Thank you for giving your life for us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. One of the joys of my month is doing this as a family together. Amen. So if you would just kind of peel back that top layer and get the bread there. Just grab that wafer. And Jesus says, this is my blood. Not my blood, my body. Getting ahead of myself. This is my body broken for you. Think about that just for a moment. He says, this is me for you. This is me. Pinned to the cross. This is me for you. Take and eat. Then just peel back the second layer. This may be a little difficult. He took the cup and he gave thanks. Said, this is my blood shed for you. For your forgiveness. Take and drink. Amen. Father, we just thank you that you gave us this reminder. On the night before, you gave your light for us. Thank you that we get to look back and remind our hearts and our minds and our wills of what you went through for us. All because you loved us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, Lord, your love never fails. And you never or have once ever failed us. Thank you for that. Thank you for enduring the cross for us. And now I thank you that you have joy in heaven. And Lord, may you rejoice over us because we are faithful down here. Help us be more faithful. Stronger, resilient, and full of grit till you come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.